promise of the book is mine, every chapter, every verse will be mine. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet while Brother Lloyd comes.
Every promise in the book.
Praise God. You see this Bible that I'm holding? This Bible was among those things in my house when the house was burned completely down with fire. But this Bible was not burnt. Everything burnt around it. But this Bible was intact. You can burn everything in this world, but when it comes to the word of God, you can't. So shall we close our eyes and pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege that you have given to us to come and worship your Son today in the beauty of his holiness. We thank you for all what you have done for us from the day one that you sent forth your Son to the world to die for the world. He came to the world, but the world did not receive him. But as many as receive him, to them you gave them the power to become the sons of God. We are your sons and daughters. And we have gathered before you with all our problems and difficulties and everything that you know, Father. In the name of Jesus, come and visit us today. And bless us and strengthen us. Give us the hope. And give us the faith to walk with you. In Jesus' name, let the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be acceptable in your sight. Hide me behind the cross as I pray. And let you alone be seen on this pulpit. For your glory and for your honor, Lord, I cry unto you to have all glory and honor that you deserve. Bless every head bow, every home represented, children and old, and Lord, bless even the babes, for your glory. Let us go home today with joy in our heart, a spring in our feet, a shout in our voice, and let us know that Jesus is still alive and alive forevermore. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 37, the dry bones. The dry bones. How many have heard about dry bones? I don't think everybody is dry here. Ezekiel chapter 37. But before I read Ezekiel chapter 37. I want us to go back to chapter 1 of Ezekiel. Oh God, take control now, Jesus. Before we speak about Ezekiel, we want to know something about this prophet. Because there are so many prophets today that you can't believe them and you can't trust them. They come and tell you, I've seen a vision. They come and tell the Lord has spoken to me. But you want a real prophet that will speak the word with vision, with faith. So here is what Ezekiel himself was saying. Now it came to pass in the 10th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, I was among the captives by the river of Chiba, that the heavens were open, and I saw a vision of God. He saw a vision of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was 5th year by year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzah, in the land of Chaldeans, by the river of Chiba, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. This man, Ezekiel, was among those captives that King Nebuchadnezzar took them as slaves to Babylon. And as he was sitting down with the rest of the people, he saw a vision. He saw a vision first. The next day, the Lord came to him with the word. You see, vision and the word of God goes in hand and in hand.
Amen.
If a prophet comes to you and tells you, oh, I've seen this, I've seen that, I've seen a vision, God has spoken to me in this way. Let me tell you, if he has no word to back up what he's telling you, don't believe him. Don't trust him. Because Jesus himself warned us that in the last days, there will be so many prophets that will come along and say, I am the Christ. Come here, come into my chamber. He said, don't believe them, don't trust them. Walk away from them. But this man was a man of God, filled with the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And God gave him a vision, which is the gift of seeing things. In the Bible's days, they called them seers.
Amen.
So one day, God paid him a visit in a vision form. Turn to chapter 37, which I commence our reading. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. All this was done by vision. It wasn't a physical thing. It was through vision. We talk about Paul entering into the third heaven and receive what God gave to him. He didn't walk to the third heaven. He had a vision with God. God came to him at the night hour.
Amen.
And took him in the spirit. You are sitting down there thinking that this is impossible. Can I refer you to Acts chapter 8? What did the Spirit of God did to Philip?
Amen.
That was a physical part. So both things is that God can do it physically and he can do it spiritually. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. So this man was sleeping one day and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and took him in the spirit and set him upon a valley. And when the Lord set him on the valley, he looked down into the valley. He said, Lord, what are you trying to do? Because when he looked down, he saw something that we call skeleton. Bones upon bones. He looked down again. It was full of bones. And God said, go around them. Let me read it for you. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. They were very dry. And you know, when I was reading this, God spoke to me about the modern the churches today. God was speaking to me about churches. That is what he's talking to me. There are some churches that when you go and sit down at the seat of their church, you don't feel nothing. All that you feel is dryness, as the dry bones. Dryness. And look, the world too. We are walking about and shoveling shoulders to others. There are so many people who are working in the world today who are so dry. So dried. God doesn't want dry people. Either you are warm or you are lukewarm. He said, if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out. He wants you to be on fire.
Amen.
He wants you to be filled with joy. He wants you to be very, very healthy. God doesn't want you to die. Ezekiel said, as so many bones scattered. And when I look, they were so dried up. So it is with the children of God. Some have gone far away from God and they are dried up. God wants you to be full of Him.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be dried. So Ezekiel went round the dry bones over again and again. And God put a question before him and said, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, oh Lord God, thou knowest it. When he looked at those dry bones, God asked him and said, do you have faith to believe that these dry bones will live? Do you have faith that the problem that you are having in your heart, in your home, in your work, everywhere you are, do you have faith that God can solve it? Can God deliver you?
Amen. Amen.
Can God restore you back?
Amen.
Can God give you the strength and the power to go from strength to strength?
Amen.
Like a lion? Amen. Hallelujah. And Ezekiel said, oh, Lord, I can't tell. You know it. You created them. You know what to do. You know it. But we are living a clever world today. The man knew everything. If it was somebody else, he would say, yes, I know it. God wants people who are innocent. People who have no education. Look at this man. He was sitting among the captives and God came and picked him up and put his spirit in him and showed him this great vision that we are talking about. So God can take you and make you somebody. The devil wants you to make you nobody. But God wants you to make you somebody.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are called to this assembly, to this church, for a purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, the Bible says, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord, oh, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, all ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
There is nothing that can solve any problem. The problem of the world today, the problem we are facing the world today, cannot be solved by anybody but by the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is only the word of God. He said, can these bones live? He said, you know it. He said, in order for them to be restored again and again, in their strength, in their joy, in their power, in their love, let them hear the word of God. That is why it is good to have a church who preaches the word.
Amen.
Because the Bible says the word of God will never, never return unto him void. He will accomplish whatever he says. So let's see what Ezekiel did. If you were Ezekiel, you say, oh Lord, to speak to dry bones, they don't have ears to hear. You don't have anything. Dry bones, your conscience will let you begin to doubt. But because he is anointed by God and he's walking in the will of God and he believes God and what God has said, well, he will do it, he started to prophesy. We need to preach what Jesus tells us to do. The word of God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word is God. So when you are preaching to somebody, you are not preaching yourself to that person. You are preaching the word of God. Because God says, speak to them. Ezekiel, speak my word. Tell them my word. Don't tell them anything else. Don't compromise. All that we hear today in our church is compromising, tickling ears, making people joyful, dancing and all kinds of things. That doesn't solve the problem. Become in like a wet sinner and goes out like a dry sinner. That's what I call them, dry sinners. Because the word wasn't preached. But here, we find that the man of God, whom God has anointed, started to preach the word of God. God said, tell the dry bones to hear my word. If the dry bones are allowed to hear the word of God, how much more we? Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and said unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring up, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Are you seeking for healing from Christ? That is your answer. That is your solution. If you want to be healed, listen to the word, believe the word. Accept the word. Act upon the word. I tell you, Friday, I couldn't walk at all. I got up from my bed and my legs and everything painful. And I said, Lord, I'm not taking the devil's word. I'm taking your word, which says I am healed by the stripe of Jesus.
Amen.
And I started standing up, walking about, and that very moment, the pain left. Everything went out. You know, you don't try to bargain with the devil. If you bargain with the devil, he will take you a mile. He will put more upon you. But we are so defeated that anytime we feel pain, oh, take me to the hospital, take me, give me an aspirin, give me, what did they call it? Oh, this medicine, I forgot. It is a tablet. But our donkey sister, one, take two, take three. To solve the problem. God said, speak to them a word. Tell them a word. Let them listen to my word. And I will cause what? Flesh upon them. First breath, flesh, skin, sinews. I'll bring all this upon them. If God can bring all these things upon us, if we are dried, I tell you, you will never sit down here and complain. Complain. I remember a Sunday. I felt that yes, we were going to have a Pentecostal experience. The way the Spirit was moving here, I knew God was visiting us and proving to us that we are on our way to that experience in the upper room. That's how I felt. Especially this young girl, Deborah, when I was praying for her, I knew God was going to give her the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because joy came into her heart, which I experienced. You know what God said when I went home? She will receive it. She is going to baptize her and use her for his glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when this man prophesies to the dry bones, let's see what happened. The Bible says, thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath enter into you, and ye shall live. And will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin. I prophesied as I was commanded, said the prophet. And as I prophesied, oh my God, there was a noise. That is why we have noise in a meeting. That is why we have shaken up. The Bible says when he prophesied, there was a noise. You can't be in Pentecostal church and be so silent. You can't. To be in the Pentecostal church where the Spirit is moving, the power of God is in action. God is visiting his people with anointings, preaching. You can't sit. Somebody who had the baptism of the Holy Ghost sometime was reading this book. And he went to a church. And they started to play. They started to sing. And he started to shout. First he started to shout. Second he started to dance. Third he started to go around. And they say, sit down. He said, I can't sit down. They say, sit down. He said, I can't sit down. Because I've got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I can't sit down.
All right.
You can't sit down when the movement of the Spirit is in action.
Amen.
So when this prophet prophesies, the Bible says there was a noise, and behold, a shaking up. The bones came together, bone to his bone, and everything was rearranged, reformed, restored back. There is a restoration coming, oh brother. God is going to restore his church. with so much anointing that people will not be able to sit on their seats. It's coming up.
Amen.
We are in for a treat.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you want to be translated like Philip, God will translate you. Philip doesn't have to pay transport for traveling. The Holy Spirit just lifted him up and sent him where he was going. Oh, friends, let us believe God for mighty things.
Amen.
Let us believe God for greater things.
Amen.
Our God is good. He's wonderful and mighty. Hallelujah. And when he spoke, everything was rearranged. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, or breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And you are talking about asthma. Asthma can't breathe. I'm short of breath. This is your answer. This is your answer. Anytime the devil is attacking with short breath, you tell him, hey, I've got a great God who can breathe into my lungs. We spend too much money on medicine. When we have a God like this, everything he would supply. He said, I will supply all your needs, both spiritually, physically, materially, financially. You're a son of God. And you have an inheritance in his kingdom. He said, hey, prophesy to them. They need some air. They need some air. Have you seen somebody who is out of air? And what do the nurses or the doctors do? They kneel on his chest and started to pump it. That's our God. Our God is. If you need air, you say, oh, I'm short of bread. You are not a short of bread. If God is in you, you are not. If Jesus is in you, if the Son of God is abiding in you, if you are walking together with him, anytime the devil shows his ugly head in you and say you have got a chest trouble, you have got a sore throat, tell him you're a damn liar. That is why we must treat the devil. Because he's a liar. Tell him he's a liar, a thief, a murderer, a killer. If he doesn't murder you, he doesn't kill you, he mummied you. You don't play eye to eye with the devil, or you play hide and seek with the devil. If you give him a mile, he will take 3 miles in your life. That is the Bible says, don't give chance to the enemy. Resist him. Because Jesus has paid everything for you. Whatever that you need, Jesus has supplied. So God said, hey, prophesy to the dry bones and let them have the breath to breathe. And he did what he did. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet. These are the dry bones. Now they are no more dry bones. Now they are standing their feet on their feet as men created. Does anything too hard for God? The Bible says so. There is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard for God. These dry bones need flesh, and God put flesh. I remember when I had this accident, making the trip back, before they can heal this thing, they have to take another flesh from my legs, two legs, and put it on my arm as a skin grafting. And I tell you, it's more worse than the bend. But God miraculously put flesh upon these dry bones. Imagine. First, he has to join them together. The bone, the skeleton, everything. And I'm going to show you people something today and let you know that there's nothing impossible for him. When I read that, I knew God is in this assembly. If we walk holy with him and obey his voice from his servant. You see, the dry bone had Ezekiel to speak to them, and we have Tommy here to speak to us. And any other person that comes with the same faith and the same belief to speak to us, to build us up, to give us the knowledge that we need, understanding, revelation, visions, to walk with and to meet the desire of God. One day I came here, I was sitting there, Tommy gave me a book about William Branham. I went home and I started to read it. The world will accuse you, say all manner of things, whether good or bad. Jesus said, beware when men pat you on the back and say, well done, you did a good job, you preached very well. Don't accept it. Be humble. He that humble himself shall be exalted. Brother, Tommy gave me this book of William Branham. And many things have said against this man. You see, if you are going to obey God, you will have an enemies. Things will not go smoothly with you. There are people that stood against you. as they did to the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about raising the dead and all that. I mean, dry bones. When Jesus died and rose, what happened to the dead people that were in the grave? They all stood up. And it is prophesied even in this book what we are reading, that I will open their graves. So when Jesus rose, the whole dead people rose with him. Tommy gave me this book, and I read this book so much that I came to a place. Who knows Florence Nightingale? If without woman, we wouldn't have had any home care in our stage today, in our nation today. This woman, during the Second War, put herself into danger by caring for all those wounded soldiers, treating them, doing good things for them. And all of a sudden, the old devil attacked her with a sickness. And this is the picture of her. Can everybody see it? That is her picture when he was sick. Doctors have done all they could do. They couldn't help her. And William Branham was going to Finland to conduct a crusade. And the King of England gave him a call to come and pray for him. But then this woman heard about William Branham, that he was praying for the sick and they were getting healed and delivered. So he wrote William Branham and put a ticket, airplane fare, in his letter and send it to this man to come and pray. When they came to Finland and came to England, William Branham was coming through the airport, through the gates, and there was a call from the loudspeaker that he should contact somebody. When he contacted the person, he was told about this woman to come and pray for her. Friends, God is still alive. And there is nothing too hard. Look the picture of her. It's a dead woman. Skin gone, everything. Like the skeleton that we are talking about. William Branham went and prayed for her, finished her crusade, went back, 5 months time. See the difference after he prayed for her. Can you believe this?
Amen. Yes, amen.
Right.
God is good. Amen. God raised her as he raised the dry bones.
Amen.
Right. We are here for a purpose. And God is going to give us our answers if we walk so humbly with him like this man. When Tommy gave me this book, the Lord said, don't put it down. I was spending hours upon hours, night upon night, reading the book. And that gave me this sermon. Whatever God has done yesterday, he can do it today. Because he changed not. I am the Lord, I change it not. I mean, Sunday service was extraordinary. And that is what God wants. Let's put our hearts into everything. You know, I'm learning how to play the organ because I feel like God is speaking to me to learn, and I'm learning it. Because if our sister is not here, there is nobody to play the organ. We leave the whole burden on this man here. You know, and there are so many here that God can use, this young man that he can use to play guitar, to play the drum, everything. Make the meeting so lively.
Amen.
So let's put on the whole armor of God and listen to God for his mercy. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. Let's stand our feet this morning. Praise God. And the Lord bless the brother Laurie. God is good. So good. You know, I remember I was at a car wash in Bond Bridge some years ago, and I had had the tapes of William Branham in the car. They're still in the car. They're in every car I've got because I listen to them all the time. I want to listen to them. There's not much else worth listening, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of preachers out there, but some of them I wouldn't even waste my time listening to them because they have nothing. That's just the truth of it. But God sent that man with a message we're to hear. I was listening in the car, and the boy washing the car. I left the car to get a valet done. When I come back, he had some smart comments about William Branham. See, you're listening, Branham. He didn't want to call him William Branham. See, you're listening, Branham. Now, when you call somebody with a second name, you know, you're not meant to do that. How many knows what I'm talking about, the older people here? Years ago, you never talked to nobody like that. You used your first name. And that's why even with the Lord, you give him his full title, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that boy was been smart. He was been smart. And I'll tell you, Brother Larry, over the years, I've been called everything because of Branham. They've called me Branhamite. And I even got his name. And I used to hate the name, but I'm glad the day I've got the name. It's on the birth certificate. There's nothing they can do about it. It's on it. And I don't worship William Branham, but I'll tell you what, he was a prophet sent from God. And a lot of people that ridicule him, they weren't sent from God. Oh, they would have recognized what God done. How can you deny what God's done? Look at that woman, her brother showed the photo, Florence Nightingale. Practically dead, about 60-something pound weight. The next year, she's 140-something pound weight. That was over 10 stone. That's 10 stone's a good weight for a woman. Over 10 stone. That's the power of God. The King George, they'll not know anything about it today if you ask them. But William Branham went and prayed for him. He smoked the pipe, and he told him to quit the pipe as well. But I don't know if he did it or not. But he prayed for him anyhow. And there's many people he prayed for, but they wouldn't let on about it. And you know the amazing thing, brother? When I lived in Scarborough, and I'm not preaching, and brother's going to come in a minute. When I was over living in Scarborough one Sunday, Pastor Ken Davison rang me on that, you know how you can do FaceTiming. He rang me, he's in America. And he was with a man called Jenkins. He's a big, tall man, and he's an old man. And his dad was completely healed of cancer. William Branham's meetings. And the Church of God got his dad, and they held a special meeting. And they brought him to it, and they said, you have to deny William Branham, or you have no more part with the Church of God. And the man Jenkins said, well, I'll not be denying William Branham. So they threw him out, because he wouldn't deny William Branham. And his son's telling the testimony about it. And I got talking to his son on the FaceTime. He was meant to come here to Northern Ireland to tell the testimony. He was meant to come to this church. But COVID stopped all that. But he might still come, I don't know. I don't have his details. It just so happened that day what the FaceTime me. And God let it happen, praise God. God's real. God is real. Do you know when T.L. Osborne preached William Branham's funeral? Do you know what he said? He said, why did God do it again? Why did God do it again in the ministry of William Branham? Why did God do it again? Why did he do the miraculous again? Because people forget. We need the miraculous again. We need it. Because people forget. And they come formal. They're glad with formality. They're happy with formality. Come to church, sing two hymns, and have a wee message and go home again. But we need the power of God in our meetings. I want the power of God. I believe some of you want the power of God. I don't know if you all do, but I trust you do. We need the power of God. And the Bible says, those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Praise God. The Lord bless you, Brother Laurie, this morning. God bless you. I've really enjoyed the Word of God. Brother Gary's going to come because I'm not going to keep you. I'll be preaching the night, the Lord willing. And I might pick up again on I Am because I never got past the first two lines the last time. And I might not. Just whatever the Lord leads. I don't want to announce someone and then doesn't preach it. But and the Lord bless Brother Gary. The family won't be here. The children's going on a youth camp. It's great to get away, isn't it? The camp. But let's pray. Let's believe God. Go ahead, brother. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Larry.
Amen. Praise God. Well, that's good this morning. Praise God. You know, I was sitting there feeling quite ashamed, really, whenever Brother Larry said, has anybody got a testimony from last week? And nobody came forward. And then I felt ashamed because I thought of the lepers that all were cleansed. There was 10 lepers. You know how many came back to thank the Lord? One, wasn't there? One came back, and I thought there wasn't even one among us. But I had the privilege of getting back up on the platform here. And I just want to say that I was so blessed last week. First of all, just for the anointing that was in the meeting, I was thankful to the Lord for that anointing. But you know, I was so blessed. You know, the most important thing I believe in any parent's life is that their children would be serving the Lord, saved and serving the Lord. You know, I was so blessed when the children prayed. I read Deborah's what Laurie said this morning when she prayed last week. I was so blessed that the Lord would put it in her heart that she would pray for the Holy Ghost. And I've been so blessed this morning what the Lord has told them. And I believe it, that she will receive it, praise God. That's the most important thing, you know, that they're ready for the seed of God. And, you know, we believe in this fellowship, believe everyone here believes it, but there's no catching up for the believer that's not baptized in the Holy Ghost. They'll go through the tribulation. You don't want your children going through the tribulation. There's many things with thinking about it, you know, about parents. What makes a good parent? What's a good parent? I'll tell you what a good parent is. A good parent is who brings their children up in the fear and admonishment of the Lord. That's a good parent. A good parent's one who teaches their children the things about God. The Bible says if you train up a child in the way of the Lord when he's older, he'll not depart from it. I know sometimes children don't always go the way we want them to go, but just believe God's word and teach them the things of God. And I believe that, you know, you would tell your children the truth. You wouldn't tell them fairy tales. So many children, parents think they're doing their children good. They'll spend money on them. They'll tell them lies. They'll tell them lies about a magical father. You know, when it takes away from the heavenly father and brings gifts, perishable gifts that cost a lot of money. But there is a father who give a gift that doesn't cost nothing, praise God. And it's more precious than all the other gifts. And a good parent will tell their children about that gift and how important it is. And a good parent, if they know, will tell their children that they need to be ready. They need to have their own experience with God. So I was so blessed last week whenever that happened, praise God, and blessed this morning. That's my greatest desire, is to see my children filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't want them going through the tribulation. I don't want anybody going through the tribulation. I don't want your children going through the tribulation. I don't want your brothers or sisters going through it. We don't want that. So important. That's the most important thing for the believer. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. We're going to sing that chorus, but you know, I'm going after we sing it. If you would want to give thanks or testimony, even if the Lord's blessed you or touched you or you're encouraged, come up to the front and testify. Don't be ashamed. Just come back and give thanks to the Lord. But we're going to sing that little chorus while we do that. If you want to come, we'll make way and give you opportunity to give thanks. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Amen.
We're together again.